We're going to open the House Committee on Human Services today on February 1st, 2010. Thank you all for coming. We had originally scheduled to hear House Bill 3618, and I'm just wondering if anybody has traveled from somewhere to testify on that bill. Good, that's great.
It'll be Friday.
Pardon?
You might be Friday.
Yes, we're hoping to hear that on Friday. Thank you very much, and now we will open up a public hearing. We're not going to open up a work session, right?
Just public.
On House Bill 3623. Rick.
Thank you, Chair. You have in front of you House Bill 3623. What this basically does is allow the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, OLCC, to distribute materials on human trafficking, and it does prohibit the organizations from charging for these materials. The bill goes on to outline the form and the limitations on those materials. There is some lengthy background information on the issue of human trafficking on the staff measure summary in front of you. You have in your packet, however, the dash one amendments. These will be replaced by the dash two amendments that are just slightly different, and we're still waiting for the fiscal revenue, and I'll probably defer to the proponents of the bill to describe a little bit about what the amendments do. They're fairly minor, and so with that, I'll close.
Okay. James, where are you? I just saw you. James, do you want to speak to the dash two amendments, or do you want someone else to speak to that?
No, I'll speak.
Okay, great.
Chair Tomei, members of the committee, for the record, my name is James Barta. I am a legislative staffer for Representative Brent Barton. And just a brief comment on this dash two amendment. It's an change to make it somewhat broader. In the first section, the amendment was originally going to restrict the nonprofit entity to a C3, and we realized that would exclude fraternal organizations, chambers of commerce, as possible sources for the sticker. So the language has been changed simply to 501C. And that's the only change that is from the dash one amendment.
Terrific. Thank you. And colleagues, we did hear quite a bit of testimony on this legislation previously. So any questions about this amendment? Is that a no?
No, we're good.
Okay. Everybody's okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. We have a couple of other people who'd like to testify. Stacy Belavia? Bellamy? And Marcia Kelly? Okay, Stacy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Stacy Bellavia. And dear Madam Chair, Tomei, and members of the House Services Committee, thank you for your hard work surrounding HB 3623. The Oregon Center for Christian Values unites Christians to seek God's justice in Oregon. We base our personal and public values on the life of Jesus Christ as taught us in the Bible and advocate for policies that reflect Christ's care for the poor, the oppressed, and the most vulnerable. As an Oregon resident and member of the OCCV Human Trafficking Advisory Committee, I have been following the development of HB 3623. In June 2007, I moved from Oregon to South Asia to work for a human rights organization, International Justice Mission, where we worked to rescue and rehabilitate trafficked victims of forced labor. Upon my return to Oregon, I found that after my experience in South Asia, I could not keep silent of what I saw in Oregon as well. Prior to working with IJM, I worked as a caseworker for the Oregon Department of Human Services Child Welfare and currently work as an intake screener at the Metropolitan Child Abuse Hotline. As an employee of the Child Abuse Hotline, I know how critical it is to educate the community regarding what and how they can advocate for the needs of Oregon's children. If the community does not know where to turn or who to call for assistance, the safety of children is at risk. The Polaris Project is a national anti-trafficking organization that works exclusively on domestic sex trafficking of minors. HB 3623 would provide their hotline number free of charge to OLCC licensed businesses with an encouragement to post their numbers in a visible location. In supporting HB 3623, an opportunity for rescue is offered by means of a hotline number. a hotline number that can connect victims to resources and law enforcement in an effort to escape from their abuser. Out of respect for your valuable time during this short session, instead of having lengthy or multiple testimonies, we'd like for everyone who has traveled to the Capitol in support of HB 3623 to please stand up. Thank you for this opportunity to testify.
We're glad you're all here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Thank you very much. Marcia.
Lou has a question.
Marcia Kelly, America's.
Wait, I'm sorry. Marcia. Lou?
I just had one observation. This particular bill has, and I appreciate you being here, most definitely. I've talked with a number of people with this group and other folks associated. This is targeted towards OLCC facilities, et cetera. But one of the major concerns that I have is that the places that really have the information that people are seeing things are in the truck stops along the I-5 corridor. Have you had any, is there any ability to put some of these things within the truck stops or to target those places where people are actually trafficking, where people are coming through, where people are seeing the young children coming through, where unfortunately the Johns and the pimps are there now. I don't know whether you've gotten a chance to look at that. I know that your group has looked at some of these things. Where is the best communication tool? It may be at the OLCC facilities, but it may also be in those other areas. Have you looked at that?
Mm-hmm. Chair Tomei, Representative Frederick. Indeed, that has been a point of discussion. In fact, I attended a meeting Monday night where there was about 100 people discussing putting similar signs and hotline number at truck stops, at rest stops, and in fact, in discussions with Representative Freeman yesterday, we discovered that perhaps future legislative ideas would be to include the Department of Agriculture, which includes investigations of such facilities when they check the gas pumps. So yes, and I'd love to get you more information on that in the future.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Frederick, for asking that. Good suggestion. Any further questions? James, could you talk some? I'm sorry, Marcia, because we also have a -1 amendment, and Representative Freeman isn't here to discuss this. So, James, could you talk with us a little bit? Do you have the -1 amendment? Can you speak to that?
Yes. Chair Tomei, the -1 amendment fundamentally has just two parts. One, defining the nonprofit entity. Before, it was rather vague, as Representative Freeman rightfully pointed out. And the second part simply allows OLCC, in a sense, a veto over the sticker design. So if for some reason some other organization wanted to come in and introduce some variation, they would have the right not to include it in the licensee mailers.
Okay. After I asked you that, I realized that the -2 amendment includes the -1. It just made a small change. So.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Marcia.
Marcia Kelly, American Association, University Women, Oregon. I'll make this short and sweet. AUW supports anything that will help educate women and the community about areas of life that they need to be educated about, and human trafficking. We don't think we see it when we really do in our communities, and so AUW would support any educational efforts to make sure that people can escape from these situations, and so we'd be in support of the bill.
Thank you, Marcia. Any questions of any of the folks? All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming today. Thank you all for coming today. We had hoped to have a work session on this. Unfortunately, we don't have a fiscal yet. We may by the end of the meeting, and then I will close the public hearing portion of this, and then I will open up. I think that was without the
all the amendments.
That's your original.
Right. So I would open up a work session after, if and when we get fiscal.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
You expect it here in the next hour, 2 hours?
We would hope to.
Yeah, okay.
Right. If not, we'll have the work session on Friday. Okay, thank you all very much for coming. Thanks for your support of this very, very important issue. And with that, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 3623. Okay, and we are going to open up, so can you keep this? We will open up a public hearing on House Bill 3625. Okay, Rick.
Thank you, Chair. 3625 does recognize May as Maternal Mental Health Awareness Month, encourages early childhood counselors, health providers, parents, and others to increase understanding and awareness of mental health needs of pregnant and postpartum women and their families. There's background information there, and I will defer to the Chair and others here to testify on that.
Well, we've had a lot of history on this bill and this legislation, even starting last session when we had several folks coming to testify on this issue. Many women suffer through maternal depression, both in pregnancy and in after a child is born. And it's one of those issues that doesn't get a lot of press, and we're trying to educate the public on that. And we've been educated on the high incidence of maternal depression. So we're hoping with this legislation to designate May of every year Maternal Mental Health Awareness Month, so that every year at that time we can spread the word more fully than we've done in the past. With that, I think we have at least one person coming to testify, and Catherine, too. Thanks for coming today. I know this is a long trip for you to come down early in the morning, but we appreciate your commitment to this issue.
Thank you so much. Should I wait for Kath?
That's okay. Why don't you start?
I'm Wendy Davis, and from Portland, Oregon. Rep. Tomei, members of the committee. I don't have a prepared testimony today. I so much appreciate your taking time for this last year with House Bill 2666 to create the Maternal Mental Health Task Force. We're on to our third meeting. The Planning Committee meets every week, and we're just really making great strides in this. And the least I can do is come down here early. I just so appreciate the legislative support to really come behind this effort. And in studying this, I think we're going to make really clear and concise and evidence-based recommendations back to the legislature about best practices, services, and gaps in Oregon. But whenever I think about this, I think that in tandem to have the month every year, Maternal Mental Health Awareness Month every year, does something that the task force can't do, which is to raise awareness for both providers and the public and families and school children, everyone, to have this be out of the shadows, because no best practice will work. No best medication or book or therapist or psychiatrist will work if families aren't aware that this is something we can talk about, that this is something that exists. So I really appreciate, and I vote yes.
Thank you, Wendy. Any questions of Wendy before we move on to Catherine?
I do.
Okay. And Lou, I've got you too.
Go ahead. Okay. Thanks, Wendy. Has the task force started talking about what you might do this May, assuming that the bill passes, which I'm confident it will?
No, we haven't started talking about that yet.
One thing I would suggest is, and again, coming from my parochial world, as a college teacher, community college teacher, we have many students who are themselves new mothers. I've talked to so many who, they learn they've become pregnant, and they have their lives all mapped out. They're going to have a 4-day recovery, and then they'll be back in class.
Yes.
And, the future is charted out. And they get hammered when they, after they have the baby, and because, they things aren't working out as planned, as often happens with childbirth. And I would really encourage you to, and if there's anything I can do to help with this, to contact the different women's support groups on the college and university campuses, because that really is a population that, when they have that experience, it's extremely devastating for them, because they see their life courses, you know, suddenly derailed, when it's really, it's a temporary thing that they're going through.
Thank you very much, Rep. Dembro, for that recommendation. And absolutely, the picture of that is not only the college student, but the baby and the children she has at home are everything is disrupted, and having to do with those high expectations and the lack of awareness that she might actually be having a significant depression or anxiety that's exacerbated by our way of just get right back to it 4 days later. I got to get back to school. I got to get back to work. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Representative
Trevor. Chair. Let me add another set of suggestions to this. One of the concerns that I have relates to the various cultures and how they address information, getting
yes.
information from things. I have found that in certain communities, certainly within the Black community, if you are able to get this information into the barbershops and the beauty salons, it's a lot faster than trying to put it through the Oregonian or flyers in other places. So my suggestion is that you also take a look at some of the culturally specific communication tools that might help a number of women who are and men as well, who at this particular point often do not recognize that this is in fact a problem, because they've not the culture that they come from is not necessarily saying that this should be taking place. So if you can find the communication tools that really address that, it would be very helpful.
Thank you very much, Rep. Frederick. I really appreciate, and the task force is right in the forefront of all of our minds, and in the membership of the task force has worked hard to make it a really, really diverse, not just on paper, but in action. And I really appreciate the specific suggestion of getting it into barbershops and beauty salons. And one point that you made is for the men to be aware, too. It's crucially important. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any other? Representative Van Orman.
Thank you, Chair Tomei. One of the questions that comes up as we're talking is that the health care that a lot of women may or may not have, because I'm thinking about some of these symptoms that you've got on the sheet, oftentimes is indication of an endocrine disorder or some other physical mm-hmm. problem for women. And so I thought, is health care going to be an issue? And I suppose it is. And so if they don't have health care, they're not going to have access to these services.
Thank you, Rep. Van Orman. It's a big challenge for the task force to address all the issues related to this, but healthcare absolutely, as well as insurance coverage or lack of, documented status or lack of, all of these things are important, and healthcare is a really key component, as well as Medicaid coverage, and we're just looking at all of that, because you can't separate, you can't leave out the physical components or the social, environmental, the family support.
Okay. So
thank you very much for making a note of that,
which we have. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Catherine, thank you for coming today.
Thank you, Chair Tomei and members of the committee. I'll just speak briefly. My name is Catherine Bradley. I'm the administrator for the Office of Family Health in the Oregon Health Authority. And we have some testimony in front of you there that just really speaks to the support that this office and the division has given to this work, our appreciation of this body for the work that you did last session, our ability to support the work that Wendy and her group is doing. There are two things I just wanted to point out. One is we do appreciate having this move to May, because it actually dovetails very nicely with some of the other mental health work that we'll be able to do. Mental Health Month is in May, and the National Children's Mental Health Awareness Day is May 7th. So we'll be able to begin, I think, to really look at coordinating with addictions and mental health in some integrated ways. We also wanted to thank you for mentioning the Early Childhood Council, because the other thing we're trying to do a much better effort with state and private partners is to really link our early childhood initiatives and our early childhood work. And so through the Early Childhood Council and its subcommittees, we're actually trying to make sure that we've got good coordination and then the opportunity to leverage work continues. So just wanted to mention that and thank you. And then you have a handout there about maternal depression that is specific to Oregon that does come from the research and the surveillance work that we've done. And we're available for any questions. Thank you.
Catherine, I noticed you mentioned PRAMS, and I'm not sure if I heard about that before. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Oregon Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System?
Thank you, Chair Tomei. And that is Oregon, as the majority of states in the country, has as one of its surveillance systems, the Oregon Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System. It is partially funded through CDC, and then we also do part of our funding through the MCH Title V block grant that comes to the state. And it's actually a random survey that goes out to new mothers within the first six weeks of delivery. We oversample for rural, we oversample for minorities, and it's what we use to understand what is happening in terms of health habits and what women are doing and families are doing. So we have a number of questions that we ask. Depression is one of them. We ask about violence. We ask about obesity. We ask about nutrition. We ask about smoking, anything that we think relates to health behaviors and what would be a healthier and safer pregnancy as well as delivery. And we use that then to have a better understanding of what the needs are and how to better target our interventions and our education. Thank you.
What proportion of mothers would return the survey?
Chair Tomei and committee, I would have to double check on that. We do have a fairly good proportion. We have a three-stage approach, and we subcontract actually with an external group that actually we do mailings, we follow up with phone calls, but I'd have to respond separately because I don't remember the proportion.
Okay, maybe during the 11th session or maybe during the interim, you could report back to us. I'd be very interested in having that information. Thank you. Representative Van Orman.
Just to follow up on what you're asking, is Healthy Start part of this data collection?
Chair Tomei and Representative Van Orum, Healthy Start as a program is not any new mothers. So any of the births that we have are randomly selected. And this is one of several different surveillance systems we have. So we have PRAMS, which is what happens in the first 6 weeks. We've actually started what we call PRAMS 2, which is where we do a follow-up survey at child's age of 2 years. So this is part of what the health department does as one of the several different types of surveillance systems. Healthy Teens is another version of what we're doing. So Healthy Start specifically is not, but the mothers would potentially be identified in the random surveys that go out.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Boone.
Thank you. A little known fact about my history. I used to work with a community college. We developed a program called Baby Stuff, and instead of just identifying so-called high-risk families, we prepared a packet with all the information of all the services and could do something like your survey or whatever, connect with them for all new moms, and they were handed out this packet when they were leaving the hospital, or actually before they left the hospital, so they could discuss it with somebody if they wanted to. And it was very successful. The lead-in is that we also taught a parenting class. Mm-hmm. And if they hadn't done that before or during their pregnancy, they're probably too busy doing their birthing class. But we had a really good turnout at first, and then it turned into sort of it became the court-appointed thing to do for parents who had problems. So what happened were a lot of the parents who weren't having problems or anything, just interested, thought they would be construed to have been identified as abusers or something like that. So it kind of, we didn't know quite how to handle that. Plus it was grant funded and the money ran out. But My point is that was distributed through a community college, and it was through their early childhood education department, and it was just a natural for people to go into that. And we had a lot of people who taught at the college who kind of crossed over and did the parenting classes, too.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Catherine, I got a couple questions, just, and it goes back to what Chair brought up, the whole idea of PRAMS for that research. No, you mentioned it was random.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And follow-up, Madam
sure,
Chair.
Sure, follow-up.
Taking a look at the paragraph that you have here on the maternal depression in Oregon on page one, that handout that you have here, are you following with me? The more,
mm-hmm.
This portion right here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the latest data that you have right now is 05.
Chair Tomei and Representative Olson, we have about a year and a half lag period in which we are analyzing and weighing the data, and I believe we actually have 2006. This was actually produced last year, so this could be updated. And then we've got 2007 that we're currently weighing right now. So it is an annual survey that goes forward, so this is a little dated.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? All right. Thank you so much for your work on this. This is greatly appreciated by the legislature.
It's
everywhere. Thank you. With that, I'm going to be, unless there's anyone else who's wanting to testify on this legislation, seeing no offers, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3625. We do have a fiscal. And
there's no fiscal revenue.
There is no fiscal revenue fiscal report, so we'll open up a work session on House Bill 3625. Representative Boone.
Madam Chair, I move that House Bill 3625 to the floor with the adopted recommendation.
Representative Boone moves that House Bill 3625 be moved to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? We need a roll call vote.
Or if there's just no
any objection? Passes unanimously. Great. Thank you so much. I look forward to this in May. Thank you, committee. And with that, I will close the work session.
Ms. Carrier.
Oh, Carrier. Representative Boone.
Oh, me? I would think you would.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, you should do this.
Okay, thank you.
But thank
I will.
You anyway.
Yes. With that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 3625 and open up a work session on House Bill 30, public hearing on House Bill 3631. Rick.
Thank you, Chair. House Bill 3631 does prohibit insurers from treating injuries from sexual violence as a pre-existing condition for coverage, underwriting, or rating purposes. We do have a dash one amendment that defines sexual violence. However, we're still waiting for the fiscal revenue on the dash one amendment, so that may delay us till Friday. We don't get it later.
Okay. Representative Van Orman, tell us about this legislation.
Representative Tomei, thank you very much. I have with me this afternoon, this morning, I'm sorry. I've had 3 days in the building and I'm already showing the effects. Anyway, I have Christina, who testified the last time, and then I have Sybil with me today. The House Bill 3631, excuse me, Representative Chair Tomei, Vice Chair Olson, Vice Chair Boone, members of the committee. I am Suzanne Van Orman. I represent House District 52 in Hood River, Clackamas County, and Multnomah County. The House Bill 3631 is a bill to prohibit insurers from treating injuries from sexual violence as a pre-existing condition for coverage, underwriting, or rating purposes. It's simply a proactive bill. It does not occur in Oregon at this time, and it's simply a response to the fact that in other states, in some states, it does occur. So this is a proactive movement to keep it from happening in Oregon. So I am with me today. I will defer the expertise to my colleagues here.
Thank you, Representative Van Orman. Go ahead.
Chair Tomei, members of the committee, my name is Christine Herman. I'm with the Attorney General's Sexual Assault Task Force, a private nonprofit statewide organization. And we are fully in support of House Bill 3631. And just wanted to thank Representative Van Orman for her leadership in this regard, as well as the state for taking a proactive step in helping sexual assault victims access medical care. As I believe was testified to in January in the interim, at the interim hearings, sexual assault is a medical emergency. And in the best world, we would ask for all victims to get the medical treatment necessary as soon as possible. Any barriers to that care that we can knock down would get more people the care they need. Failure to receive immediate medical care has pretty significant consequences. And so if we look at the mental health and physical health implications from a lack of care, as well as the implications to attempt to involve the criminal justice system, and barriers to that care are, well, barriers. And so what House Bill 3631 does is attempt to get in front of a problem that we have experienced in the rest of the country, haven't yet experienced it in Oregon, and this would make sure that we didn't. Okay. I wanted to just explain briefly the Dash 1 amendments. The Dash 1 amendments simply define what sexual violence is for purposes of the statute, and we just combined or tied those definitions to the criminal code, so any sex offense essentially in the criminal code. I'm happy to answer any questions. Again, thank you to the Representative Van Orman for taking this project on and for the leadership of the state here.
Thank you, Christine. Sybil.
Thank you, Chair Tomei, members of the committee. Sybil Hebb for the Oregon Law Center and the Oregon Alliance to End Violence Against Women in support of House Bill 3631 with the Dash 1 amendments. I echo the thanks by Christine of Representative Van Orman and the committee in moving this bill forward. And I won't repeat the testimony that we submitted in January, but the basic context here is that Oregon has already, for the past 10 years, prohibited discrimination in health insurance on the basis of someone's status as a victim of domestic violence for the very same principles that they ought to prohibit discrimination against victims of sexual assault. And so we, again, don't allege that there are bad behaviors out there by industry, but we have heard horror stories in other states, and I think that publicity sends a message to survivors that they ought to be afraid, and we want to remove that message to make sure that we're saying you will not be precluded from receiving coverage simply because you were assaulted. And so we appreciate the efforts that have gone into this and believe that the message will help ensure that we won't re-victimize victims in the aftermath of a violent assault. Amendments that will be that will be accomplished by the bill are in keeping with national models and a model that has been endorsed by the insurance commissioners, a national organization, as well as family violence and sexual violence prevention organizations. So we appreciate your support and thank you.
Thank you, Sybil. Any questions of this panel? Thank you all.
Madam Chair, yes. Sybil mentioned, thank you. You covered what the question I was going to ask, because I didn't think that this was a problem in the state, but you're just being proactive.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. And we have other people who have signed up to testify. Marcia Kelly and Celia Cochran, is it? Colin, I'm sorry.
My handwriting is horrible.
Yes, it is.
Right. Well, that's an auspicious way to start, but Chair Tomei, members of the committee, my name is Colin Cochran, and I represent the Oregon Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. And the coalition has been around since 1978 here in Oregon, working to raise awareness and response to domestic and sexual violence. You have before you written testimony from the executive director, Terry Quintero, so that highlights our strong support for this very important bill. So I won't take up too much time except to reiterate what was said earlier. Strong thanks to Representative Van Orman and the leadership of this committee for considering such an important bill. For over 30 years, the sexual and domestic violence movement here in Oregon has sought to create safe places where victims can go to seek help, and a doctor's office is one of those places, and this bill will make sure that a doctor's office remains one of those places where victims of sexual and domestic violence can seek the help that they need. So this bill, in closing, shows those victims that the state of Oregon really cares about them. So strong appreciation for your consideration and support. Thank you so much.
Marcia.
Marcia Kelly, American Association, University Women of Oregon. A year ago in November, I had the privilege of being invited to Washington, D.C. to a National Women's Law Center boot camp on health insurance reform. It was geared toward the national level, but it compared a lot of states. And so I am pleased that Oregon already is covered this way. I'm glad that we're being proactive. But one of the things that AUW has done over the years is advocate for insurance coverage for women so that out-of-pocket expenses are not as high as they could be. And so I'm proud that Oregon has good insurance regulations, some of the best in the country, but we need to make sure that those good coverages do not go away, because we all know that women do have out-of-pocket insurance costs and they also make less money.
Thank you, Marcia. Thanks for all the work that you've done throughout the years. I've known you a long time. Any questions of either of these witnesses? All right. Thank you very much for coming today in support of this bill. With that, is there anyone else who wishes to speak on this legislation?
Oh, yeah, there it is.
So with that, I close the public
hearing. We don't have the fiscal and dash ones.
Okay. We don't have the fiscal and dash ones, and I'm sure there won't be one, but we'll have a work session on Friday. With that, I will close the public hearing, right?
Right. And just want to, just in case my senior will just carry over the bills, 3631 and the first one for Friday.
Okay. We will be carrying over this bill, 3631 and 3623, until Friday. With that, I'll close the work session, or the public hearing on House Bill 3631.
You want to see if there's any?
No, is that dash one on the other one? You are going to wait till Friday?
We've got to wait for the fiscal.
You could technically adopt amendments right now if you wanted, but you just do it on Friday.
Okay, let's do it on Friday since I closed the... Well, I could open up the work session. Okay, why don't I do that? I'm going to open up the work session on 3631. And Representative Boone, would you move that we adopt the dash one amendments?
Okay, yeah. Madam Chair, I move to adopt the dash one amendments to House Bill 3631.
Representative Boone moves to adopt the amendments, dash one amendments for House Bill 3631. Any discussion? Any objection? It carries. And I can do this same. Okay, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3631, open up the work session on House Bill 3623. And we have the dash two amendments, right? Representative Boone?
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the dash two amendments for House Bill 3623.
Representative Boone moves that we adopt the dash two amendments for House Bill 3623. Any discussion? Any objection? So adopted. Thank you, Representative Boone. And I'll close the work session on House Bill 3623. Now, what do you think? I think we are done. Okay, and Representative Dembro, we look forward to hearing your legislation on Friday, and hopefully we can.
Will we have another hearing? We will simply go into work session.
No, we'll have a hearing.
We'll have another.
No. Wait.
On yours. I'm sorry. Yes. You're talking to Michael.
Right.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Representative Dembro.
Yes. Not on yours.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right. We will. Okay.
So, Madam Chair, the expectation is the first thing we'll move these to on Friday, and then we'll go into representative.
Public hearing and work session, hopefully, on Representative Dembro's legislation.
And we'll have a fiscal.
Hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
I should think so.
I'm on too.
Hamsters on wheels down there.
I know it. I know.
When in ag, we had them cry, so you don't put any pressure on them.
Any other questions, concerns? Any other business? All right. Thank you all for being here. I close the House Committee on Human Services. Thank you.
Thank you.